Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to read verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Turn to Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Now turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. So tonight, for a few minutes, we're going to look at our service to God. What is it with? Is it just with the eyes and to make it look good? Or are you serving God with your whole heart? And yes, there is a big difference between just making a show and with your whole heart. And there is, you know, there's some ideas you get out there that's just, as long as I'm doing my best, that's okay. No, there is a right way and a wrong way. We already read some verses. God wants it done with your whole heart. He doesn't want you just to put on a show. He wants your whole heart. Turn to Isaiah 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, verse 10. Hear the words of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. Ye are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear your hand, for I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Understand, when God was saying these things, they were still offering sacrifices. They were doing everything on the outside. It looked like they were good. But what did God say? They are vain oblations. I don't want them. He said, I hated them. Why? Because whereas they might have looked good, God knew what they were actually looking at. Turn to 1 Samuel 16. Understand, you can't fool God with what you do. You can fool me, you can fool the church, you can fool whoever you want. God cannot be fooled by you acting. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Understand, you can't get anything past God. Whether you're lost or saved, you can't pretend to be saved enough for God to say, oh, wow, you figured it out. You got saved. No, he will see everything. And understand, you will be judged for every action that you commit on this earth. Understand, you can play a show. You can make it look really good and you can make yourself feel really good. God is not pleased with your show. God does not want you to be a fake. Why? Because turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but it's a good chapter to just read and take a look at and make sure, you know, there's a lot in the, how do I want to say this? Jesus dealt with a lot of Pharisees in the Gospels. He talked a lot about them and talked to a lot. And so we know quite a bit about these Pharisees. What did they always seem to have in common? They were really good at pointing out the faults of other people. They were really good at putting on a great show. But what were they always lacking? The heart towards God. How many of God's people are Pharisees these days? Now, we might believe the truth. We might not be saying there's no resurrection or that Jesus didn't come down under law. But we act the same exact way. We put on a good show, and we're always looking at other people's issues and ignoring ourselves. Matthew 23, start in verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Is that the right verse? Yes. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with these publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We see the Pharisees, they looked really good. And they were offended that Jesus would go speak with sinners. How many of us, maybe, you know, we're not the exact same way, but we have those thoughts. Well, how dare they? How dare that person comes into my church and tries to be a church member with me? How dare they do this and that? You know, I'm really good. I should be the one that deserves the prestige and things like that. You know, it's not far-fetched to think that you get filled up with pride. It's not far-fetched that God's people can get kind of out of sorts with God and understand just because you are a member of a Scripture New Testament church, just because the church says Landmark Missionary Baptist, just because you carry a Bible, you can quote John 3:16 and know more than anybody else, that does not do anything for you if your heart is not right with God. Because there have been many people over the years, people that have come through this church that probably knew more than anybody else, but it came out eventually that their heart was not right with God. Understand, God is not pleased with just a show. Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 1, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy work, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Then thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Understand, church at Ephesus, by all accounts, they were doing everything right, except they left their first love. You know, the church at Springfield, our church here, we can do everything right, but what are we doing it for? Because it's just what we're supposed to do. Or do we do it out of love to God? Turn to Colossians chapter 3. And understand, there is a difference between doing it out of obligation and doing it out of love. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart. How many of us do things out of eye service? How many of us show up and make sure, you know, I got to look busy enough so that everybody knows I'm a good church member? I got to look busy enough so I can keep fooling people that I'm a saved child of God. Understand, God is not fooled by your actions. You might fool a bunch of people. Understand, God does not care about what you do as long if you're not doing it right for him. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. If you are lost here today, it does not matter how much you do and how much you know about the Bible and how great of a person you are. If you are not saved, God does not care about the rest of the things that you are doing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Lost friend, if you're here right now pretending, this is what your future is going to be. You might do everything right. You might look great. Understand, you will still die and go to hell. Saved child of God, you might look like you're doing it right. If you do it the wrong manner, if you do it without your heart to God, God's not going to make a special, oh, it's okay for you. You know, you did everything, you did it good enough. How many of us like to have a good enough mindset with God? Think, I'm doing good enough, right? That should not be a mindset that anybody has, because understand, you on your own can never do good enough for God. It's either what God wants or it's not. And that is it's a frustrating realization to come to, because I know I'm a sinner. Newsflash, I'm just going to spoil it for you now. Guess what? Church members are full of sinners. Churches are full of sinners. Understand, you are a sinner. You will fail. I'm a sinner. I have failed. It's not my job to be better than everybody else and to make sure that I can judge everybody else. Understand, you don't get to judge everybody else. Yes, a church has a job to judge and protect its body. But how many of us use that as an excuse to judge because, Brother Nathan, you're not doing good enough. You know, I'm much better than you. You know, we laugh at that and say, I would never do that. How many of us have that thought every single day? How many of us listen to a message and think, that person really needs to hear that message, but not me? You know, test this for yourself. There's never a single message that ever gets preached that you should not get something out of. Well, it doesn't affect me. I'm saved. I'm all this. Great. Still, God has a message for you to hear, or else he wouldn't have that message being presented. Turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. We need to stop. Again, this is going to sound a lot worse than I want to see. We need to stop caring about other people and start caring about yourself a little bit more. And not in a selfish, look at me, look at me. You know what? Before you start going to everybody else and telling them how to fix their life, you better double check and make sure you got things figured out for yourself. No, you're not going to be perfect, but it's also not your job to tell everybody else what their faults are. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever should say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth, and wipe their lips, and with their lips do honor me, but they have removed their heart from me, far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, starting verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of the angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, it is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Do you do things with the love of God in your heart? If not, why are you doing them? We literally just read, though I do all these things, though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Understand, God does not care if you do all these things for the wrong reasons. You want to know a quick little check? You know, we're supposed to turn to 2 Corinthians real quickly. Hold your finger here. We're going to come right back. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 13. We're supposed to examine ourselves. What are we supposed to examine ourselves? Because we got to make sure that I'm better than everybody else, or make sure that at least I'm better than those four people, because then I'm not the worst. Make sure I put on the best face forward so that people come to me and they look at me, and then I get the position that I want, I get the prestige, and I get to... People really think I'm a great Baptist. Understand, if you do that for those reasons, you are not you're a Pharisee. At the end of the day, you are a Pharisee. And think, well, no, I don't. Guess what? what does religion, you know, we get onto a religion and all those things that they do a lot. You know what a Baptist that doesn't have their heart toward God is? Religion. You know what a person in a New Testament church, a church member who does a whole lot of things for the wrong reasons, you know what that is? The same as any other religion in this world. Because, well, no, it's okay, because I have the title. You know the title means absolutely nothing? Well, it's a Baptist. That's a big thing. You know, I like the name Baptist. I think it's great. It helps with history. You know, they weren't called Baptists back in Jesus' day. They were called Christians because they were Christ-like. It does not matter to be a Baptist if you are not a Christian. And not just a put-on-a-show Christian. You are Christ-like. Well, what did Christ like? Well, verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Something that, you know, used to get taught a lot about and bring up, benefit of the doubt. You know, that has been lost in God's churches these days. Well, they did something, and of course, they did the wrong intentions, and they had the worst intentions, and we need to get rid of them. Understand, that is not love if you are doing it because you have a vengeance against somebody else. It is not my job as a church member to clean up everybody else's life. It's not my job to police everybody else. You know whose job it is? God's. And as a church member, I'm to protect the body of Christ. I'm to do my best to make sure that when things come up, to handle it. But it's not my job to make sure and nitpick everybody else's life. Because, you know, if I'm always looking at somebody else, I'm missing myself. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Sorry, not Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 7. Verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Understand, you know what? It's okay to take a second and make sure that you are right before you go talk to somebody else. And it's okay to give a little bit of time to make sure that you're doing it in the right manner. You don't always have to jump on everybody else's problems and sin. You want to know the reason why we're always so focused on everybody else is typically it's because we know we have something we need to get taken care of and we don't want to. Because it's so much easier for me to point out everybody else's problems. When was the last time you just sat down and checked yourself with God? Well, you know, we did it last time the Lord's Supper happened. That was, 3 months ago? That's 3 months that you have not been serving God in a proper manner. It's okay. I'll deal with that later. How long does it take for God's people to get so caught up in them, everybody else's problems and everything like that? And then all of a sudden, we're all going the wrong way and we just cease to be a church. Church at Ephesus, I don't think that happened in a day, but I don't also think it took a very long time. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, they got started in the book of Acts, in Acts 19, and by Revelation, they were walking away from God about 30 years, give or take. This church has been around for 60 years, give or take. Who's to say we're not going to be the next one to walk away? We're the next Ephesus. Well, we're better than all the other churches, so we would never do that. If that's our mindset, it's going to be not that long. Because you know what? Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I'll be honest with you. I don't like looking at these verses. I did not look forward to preaching this message because I also didn't look forward to studying it and figuring it out in my own self that, hey, I got stuff I need to get figured out too. Understand, I said it before. A church is full of sinners. No one's going to be perfect in here. Understand, it does not mean that we should not strive to be as perfect for God, but not because I need to be better than everybody else. It's because we should be pleasing to God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brother, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and he knoweth that no murderer shall enter hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because we laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelt the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, and in truth. Do you have love for the brethren? Or do you hate some people? Understand, if you hate people, you have something wrong with your spiritual condition. What does it compare to? Compared to Cain. You know what? Cain offered a sacrifice to God. But why wasn't it accepted? Well, because he offered fruits. It wasn't supposed to be fruits. No, it had nothing to do with what Cain offered. It was the way he offered it to God. It does not matter what you do if you're doing it in the wrong mindset for God. Do you have hatred in your heart for your brethren? If you do, or if you have an issue with a brother that you are unwilling to get taken care of, that is a problem, and you need to get that figured out, because the longer you put that away, the longer God is going to be separated from you. Understand, not only that, parents, your kids see everything that you do. They will look at that. What example are you setting for your kids? Well, we have to be proper at church, but when we go home, completely different. You know, we say we love one another at church, and every time we see them in public, we love the brethren, but at home, we're bad-mouthing everybody because we can't stand that person. Do you see that way that person? You know what you're doing? You're setting your kids up for failure. Do we understand that not only will God stand in judgment, we will stand in judgment for our actions, we're going to stand in judgment for the example we leave out in this world. We should be very careful, and sometimes, you know, it should be a daily thing that we sit there and look, where am I at with God? You know, turn to Exodus 30. You know, it gets said a lot, you know, back in the old days of the tabernacle, if we were abided by the same rules, how many of us would be dead? Well, we say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, jokingly. It's not that big of a deal. Turn to Exodus 30, verse 20. All right, verse 19, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him that is and his seed throughout their generations. What did it say right there? They wash their hands and their feet, they die not. If they didn't wash their hands or their feet when they went to that sanctuary, they died. Right. Now, we're not physically washing our hands, but turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the words. You know, Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to the word. When was the last time you came to church with your heart right with God, where you let go of all that baggage? Well, I did that this morning. Today, I read my Bible. I said my prayers. Understand, we could go read it in Matthew chapter 6. If you have an ought against your brother, if you're unable to forgive, God did not hear that prayer, and you are not proper and ready to serve God and worship God in this church tonight. You are just as bad as if a person went and killed their sacrifices. Aaron, if he went and killed everything, got blood all over his hands, and walked right into that sanctuary of God unclean. How many times do we go to church unclean because we think we're better than everybody else? Because, you know what? That person did me dirty and I can never forgive them. A saved New Testament church member should never be able to utter the words, I can never forgive that person. But how many of us sit there with anger in our hearts to somebody? You know, anger is probably one of the most destructive things that will ever happen in your life. Bitterness. I watched my father. He was bitter till the day he died. It's not a happy life to be bitter all the time. Why do we constantly want to just make ourselves miserable all the time when God doesn't want you to be miserable? Turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 13. Sorry, there's no chapter 13. Chapter 12. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Understand, God sees everything that you do. Why keep putting on a show when it's not going to be pleasing to God? Why not just quit the show and get your heart right for God? Well, because I don't want to. That is your pride. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a high spirit before a fall. If you are unwilling to get your heart right, for whatever reason, I don't care what the reason is, you can have a valid reason. Understand, Jesus Christ had a valid reason to not die on the cross. He still went and died on the cross. Well, there are a bunch of sinners. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah, see right there. I'm supposed to look at everybody else and say, hey, they're not supposed to be here. You don't get to be a part of this. Well, verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Do we forget sometimes that we're sinners just like everybody else? Well, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm a better sinner than that person. We laugh at that and we think, nah, I never thought that. I guarantee you, at some point in your life, maybe in the deep dark parts of your heart, you never say it out loud. We've all had that thought before. They're a sinner. I've never been a sinner. Well, hold on for a second. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have to understand. Be honest with yourself. Yeah. We're really good at lying to ourselves. Be honest with yourself. See where you're at with God. And don't judge it because someone said to do something. Judge it because God cares about your soul. God, why do you think God gave so many rules and instructions about how we're supposed to live our life? Why do you think God has preached so much about the love of Jesus Christ and how we're supposed to be like Jesus Christ? Because it's better for your life. Understand, God does not want you to be miserable. Turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17. Actually, we're going to skip that one. Turn to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to do good after other gods, which ye have not known. Understand, you get a choice with how God sees you. Do you want to be blessed of God, or do you want to be cursed of God? The choice is yours. I can't make that choice for you. You can pretend, but God sees the heart. Understand, Israel pretended a lot with God. God saw through it every single time. And what happened to Israel every single time they walked away from God? They got a curse. They were in captivity a lot of times. Go look at the book of Judges. Yeah. They were in captivity a lot. Where are they now? Well, they're just having the greatest time of all. They're miserable. And they have been miserable for, what, 2,000, 4,000 years, give or take? How many of God's people are miserable for years because they just aren't willing to let go of themselves and turn to God? You know, when we talk about repentance, what is repentance? Turning from sin and turning to God. You know how much better your life would get if you just repent? Well, I can't. I can never let that go. Guess what? If you can never let that go, you better check your salvation. Could you ever let go of your could you ever let go of your sin and turn to God for your salvation? Well, it's not. It's different. Turn to Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, if you can't repent after you are saved, you better go double check and make sure you repented the first time. Because you know what? Repentance isn't just an option for salvation. Repentance is necessary for salvation. So if you can say, well, I know I'm saved, but I refuse to let go of that sin, double check that you repented the first time. How do you know? Well, go read 1 John. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Understand, God wants you to know if you are saved or not. Well, I know I'm saved because I felt really good in that moment. Because I've done all these great things for God. Because I'm really good at teaching a class. I'm really good at doing devotional. I've held 1,000 positions in the church. Everybody looks to me as an example. Understand, we already read in Matthew 7, just because you do a whole lot of good things, just because you look really good, you know, Judas was a treasurer. Was it say better than he would never have been born? Well, that was Judas. That was a special occasion. How many of us have been worse than Judas was? Well, he betrayed Christ. You know what? Yes, maybe none of us have betrayed Christ. But how many of us have lived a life just like Judas? Put on a show, made it look really good, and are going to end up in hell because we never are willing to admit that we're sinners, that we need God. Lost friend, if you never admit that you're a sinner, that you need God and are willing to repent from your sins and turn to Christ and accept him as your Savior, you will die and go to hell with your pride intact but in misery for the rest of your life. Saved child of God, you've been in a New Testament church. I mean, I know everybody's face in here. I've seen a few of you for many, many years. My whole life, How many of us are going to stand before God knowing we could have had the keys to the kingdom of heaven, keys to that city, walk into that light of that city forever, be with Jesus Christ forever, and we're going to be ashamed because I was so focused on everybody else that I took myself away from God? Well, that's not going to be me. Why not? Because you're better than everybody else? That's your pride. Understand, you have to examine yourself. Turn to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Turn to James chapter 1. We are supposed to take the Lord's Supper on Sunday, church. How many of us are waiting till Sunday night right before the Lord's Supper to get my heart right and figure it out? How many of us have sat there and, you know what? We read those verses that said, many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. You know, the consequences of taking the Lord's Supper unworthily, no, you're not going to be worthy, but taking it in the wrong manner with your heart not right for God and think it's not that big of a deal. Anybody ever willing to admit that they've taken the Lord's Supper knowing that they weren't right with God? Well, it's okay. I've made it this long. It's not that big of a deal. That's a scary place to be in because God said, you know, we think that God's rules are optional. They're not optional. They are the rules. It's not optional to. No, not going to go. I'm not even going to deny that. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 23, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, he is a religious. This man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How many of us, our religion is vain? How many of us have lived lives, your whole life, knowing that you've done nothing for God since the moment you got saved because it's all about me and making sure that I'm better than everybody else? Understand, you might think you're better than everybody else. The more you think of yourself highly, the more in sin you're going to become. Amen. Well, I'm better than that person. At least I'm not the best church member ever, but at least I'm better than those five people over there. You don't know their heart. They could be doing everything in their heart to God as best in their abilities. You have no idea what anybody else's heart's going through. Well, it's okay, because I'm better. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. How many of us are setting ourselves up for failure? How many of us have lived lives, our whole life, just waiting for testing God to see how long can I put on this charade? Understand that you will die, or Jesus Christ will come back, and you will no longer be able to put on that charade. You will stand before God. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Understand, you will stand before God, and you will have to give an account of every single action in your life. And you will look to Jesus Christ in his face and have to give an example. No, God's not going to let us say, I don't know. You know, growing up as a kid, I knew I was wrong. What I'd say, I don't know. I just go silent. You're not going to get to be silent in front of God. Amen. You're going to have to answer for everything that you do. Understand, if you are truly saved, the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. He knows everything you do because you carry him with you everywhere you go. How many of us think, it's okay, I can hide it from there? I know I'm not supposed to do this. Or I know I'm supposed to do this, but it's not for me. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Yeah. We need to stop caring about what everybody else is doing and understand, I need to make sure I'm right with God before I dare go look at anybody else and say they're wrong. Because also at the same time, I can't see their heart. Yeah. I have no idea what's going on there. Turn to Joshua 24. If you are lost here today, your goodness is not going to save your soul. You knowing all the great answers, you knowing everything, and you doing everything, showing up to church and making play like a good church member or a good kid or a good person, that's not going to do a single thing for you if you are not truly repented to God. You will die and go to hell. the rules apply to the saved child of God too. If you are doing everything but you're not right with God, you will stand ashamed before God. Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the Lord, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt, and consume you after that he hath done good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. How many of us have made that same exact statement and walked right around and gone away from God? Understand, in the Gospels it says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's not a one-time choice. You have to make that decision every single day. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's not putting on a show. That's not making everything look good. That's not making sure everybody else is following suit because you're the one watching them and making sure everybody else is doing good and they're almost as good as you because you're better than everybody else. It's, I'm going to look to God first, see where I stand in need with him, put him first, and everything else will get figured out the way it needs to. Because at the end of the day, no one in this room is God. I'm not God. I have no idea. I have no right to judge anybody else beyond what God told his church to judge. Yes, we are to protect the body and make sure, you know, if there's sin that needs to be dealt with and get it taken care of. Understand, when the Passover came, it wasn't Moses' job to walk around and make sure everybody had the leaven out of their own house. Whose job was it? The people in that house. Church member, it's not your job to make sure everybody else has got their heart right. It's your job to make sure you are right with God. So when the time comes, you can be used of God for the thing that he wants you to be used of. Lost child or lost friend, it's not your job to make sure that you look good. It's your job to cry out to God and hope and pray that he saves your soul. That is what you can do. You can't do everything else. You can't fake God. God does. Turn to Psalm 51 one more time. Psalm 51. Verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. If you are lost here today, God does not care about your service to him. He wants you to break down, humble yourselves, pray to God, and ask for his salvation. That is what you need to do. If you think that your goodness and your wonderfulness and the fact that you've been a church member for all these years is going to get you anywhere in heaven, go read Matthew 7, 21 through 22 once again. You will die and go to hell. Understand, God cannot be lied to. God cannot be hidden from. Where Psalm says that if he goes, ascend up into heaven, he is there. If I go down to the depths of the earth, he is there. He sees everything. God knows who you are. Let's all stand. Pianista, song leader, come. Let's have an invitation. There is no time like the presence to get your heart right with God. And just because you've did it already, you've covered all the bases, you said the prayer, do it again. There's never enough times. You can never ask God for forgiveness enough times. You can never repent of your sins enough times. Because I guarantee you, you've probably sinned more than you think you do. It's a constant state to be in to make sure your heart's right with God. What number shall we sing?